Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Tuesday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We learned in hour one that the GOP, they're audacious. They're ballsy, baby. And hour two, they will surpass hour one. Some new reporting at the New York Times. Ballsier than the last one. And Lordy, there's more tape. In a conference call before the riot, a plea to descend on the Capitol. A New York Times reporting at this hour, days before January 6th, a one-time aide to Roger Stone told Trump backers to make lawmakers meeting to finalize the 2020 election results feel that people are breathing down their necks. And I listened. This is about 5 minutes and 21 seconds of tape. It's not great. I don't know that we'll play it out. I did take a few notes. Their plan was to basically encourage the people at the Ellipse to march on the Capitol. And the president, this guy assures people, his name Jason Sullivan, was going to declare martial law. And it's on tape. And I find this very audacious and ballsy, but here we go. Hour two, let's lead it off. New York Times reporting at this hour. 1 week before an angry mob stormed the Capitol, a communications expert named Jason Sullivan, a one-time aide to Roger Stone, joined a conference call with a group of President Donald Trump supporters and made an urgent plea. After assuring his listeners that the 2020 election had been stolen, Mr. Sullivan told them that they had to go to Washington on January 6, 2021, the day the Congress was to meet to finalize the electoral count and descend on the Capitol. It's almost like there's some premeditation here, Fancy Brian. According to recordings of the call obtained by the New York Times, they shared that tape. While Mr. Sullivan claimed that he was not inciting violence or any kind of riots, he urged those on the phone to make their presence felt at the Capitol in a way that would intimidate members of Congress, telling the group that they had to ensure that lawmakers inside the building understood that people are breathing down their necks. Now, the whole hang Mike Pence thing, that probably did it for Mike Pence.
Yeah, that seems a little bit oppressive. It may feel like a close talker at that point.
Now, Sullivan also pledged that Mr. Trump was going to take action on his own. The president, he said, was going to impose a form of martial law on January 6th and would not be leaving office. Here's his quote. "Biden will never be in that White House," Mr. Sullivan declared. "That's my promise to each and every one of you." This is before January 6th. The recording of the call, which took place on December 30th, 2020, emerged as the Justice Department has expanded its criminal investigation on the Capitol attack. It offers a glimpse of the planning that went on in the run-up to the storming of the Capitol and the mindset of some of those who zeroed in on January 6th as kind of a last stand for keeping Mr. Trump in office. Well, John Eastman doesn't think it's the last stand. He's still making last stands. But I read on. It also reflects the complexities that the federal prosecutors are likely to face as they begin the task of figuring out how much or even whether people involved in political rallies that preceded the assault can be held accountable for the violence that erupted. After more than a year of focusing exclusively on rioters who took part in the storming of the Capitol, prosecutors have widened their gaze in recent weeks and have started to question whether those involved in encouraging protest, like the one that Mr. Sullivan was describing, can be held culpable for disrupting the work of Congress. I think they could. I think it would stick. Now, Mr. Sullivan's remarks during the call appeared to be an effort to motivate a group of people aggrieved by the election to take direct action against members of Congress on January 6th, presaging what Mr. Trump himself would say in his speech that day. While it remains unclear whether anyone on Mr. Sullivan's call went on to join the mob that breached the Capitol, he seemed to be extorting his listeners to apply unusual pressure on lawmakers just as they were overseeing the final count of the Electoral College votes. Now, in a statement provided by his lawyer, Mr. Sullivan played down the nature of the call, saying he had merely shared some encouragement with what he described as people who all felt their votes had been disenfranchised in the 2020 election. Mr. Sullivan said he had been asked to participate in the call by a group of anti-vaccine activists, or what he called health freedom advocate moms, who were hosting a small permitted event at the Capitol on January 6th. Little event, little anti-vaxxer advocate mom event at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th.
Sure, that's exactly what that seemed like.
Here is, again, a statement from Sullivan. I only promoted peaceful solutions where Americans could raise their voices and be heard, as expressed in our First Amendment, Sullivan said in a statement. I in no way condone the violence of any protesters. You know, it's interesting because I took some notes. I listened to the actual sound that this Mr. Sullivan said. Well, he did say that Trump would declare limited martial law. He did say probably wouldn't go all the way and declare insurrection. But, you know, Trump's Trump and no amount of advice is ever going to sway Trump is effectively what he said. He said, do you have any doubt that we would meet them in great force? Now, he wasn't specifically talking about the January 6th rioters, but they suspected after Trump put this little plan in motion, you know, after they basically failed to vacate the White House, that people would start marching in the streets. He references specifically Black Lives Matter protesters. And he said, effectively, they're going to honor the curfews we install, or we're going to shoot them right in their asses. So no incitement of violence, right? Yes, there was, to my perception, at least the mention of violence. If you think you're going to, what, install your president, and then when the people rise up in unison to say that didn't happen, we don't accept this, you're going to shoot them. That seems like a little cause and effect, a little action, reaction, a little violence.
And who knows what happens in the chaos that ensues after that?
Well, the one thing he assured those listening to the call, Joe Biden would never take up residence in the White House. And one of the ladies, one of these fine advocating anti-vaccine mamas from wherever, said, well, she's from down south and everybody down there is ready for a civil war.
They've been ready for one for quite a while now, it seems.
Sullivan went on to say the deep state picked on the wrong president.
It's always the deep state.
And then finally he said, you know, I like the optics of what we're planning here. The going down to the Capitol, it's going to be a big thing, and we're going to pressure them. Now I'm going to get back to the reporting at the New York Times. This, again, fresh off the presses. This is hot and breaking ballsy news. Again, Sullivan says, I only promoted peaceful solutions where Americans could raise their voices and be heard as expressed in our First Amendment. I in no way condone the violence of any protesters, although I pointed out, yeah, he did. Still in the recording of the call, Mr. Sullivan can be heard telling his listeners that lawmakers inside the Capitol need to feel the pressure. If we make the people inside that building sweat, and they understand that they may not be able to walk in the streets any longer if they do the wrong thing, then maybe they'll do the right thing. We have to put that pressure there. Can't walk the streets. What would happen as an alternative if they walked the streets?
Those people were fainting because people were yelling at Sarah Huckabee Sanders at dinner. They want to throw the pressure on people like that? Great job.
As the Justice Department widens its inquiry, federal prosecutors are using a grand jury in Washington to gather information on political organizers, speakers, and so-called VIPs connected to a series of pro-Trump rallies after the 2020 election. One prominent planner of those rallies, Ellie Alexander, received a subpoena from a grand jury and said last week he intends to comply with its request. He's a little less brassy than some of the others. In the run-up to the January 6th, Mr. Alexander publicly discussed a pressure campaign against lawmakers that was meant to stop the final electoral count, saying he was working with Representatives Mo Brooks of Alabama, Representative Andy Biggs, and Paul Gosar of Arizona. And if you're unaware, Fancy Brian and audience members, oh, those are all Republicans. A little bit more here. A quote from the aforementioned Mr. Alexander. We four schemed up putting maximum pressure on Congress while they were voting. Schemed up, Mr. Alexander said in a since-deleted video on Periscope. The plan, he said, was to change the hearts and minds of Republicans who were in that body hearing our loud roar from outside. Well, I think they heard you. It is unclear if the Justice Department is aware of Mr. Sullivan's conference call. Well, I'm aware of it, and I just told them about it, so I think they know now. The department declined to comment. The House committee investigating the events of January 6th was provided with a copy of the recording some months ago by the woman who made it, Stacey Burke, a law student and a Republican activist from Arizona. Shortly after the election, Ms. Burke became convinced that phony ballots had been flown in bulk to Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport. She eventually submitted an anonymous affidavit concerning the ballots in an election fraud case in the federal district court in Phoenix by the pro-Trump lawyer, wait for it, Sidney Powell, the Kraken. After becoming involved with Ms. Powell, Ms. Burke said she had been approached by several members of the right-wing paramilitary group, the First Amendment Praetorian, which was associated with the former legal clients of Ms. Powell's Michael T. Flynn, Mr. Trump's first national security advisor. Ms. Burke said that members of the group then placed her under unwanted surveillance, insisting on moving into her home in what they described as an effort to protect her from the people that might want to retaliate against her. It was a member of the First Amendment Praetorian, Ms. Burke said, who had joined the conference call that featured Mr. Sullivan. Ms. Burke said she recorded the call much like she recorded other activities by the First Amendment Praetorian, because she felt threatened and unsafe by the group's presence in her home. Do you think they're going to move in? That also seems pretty freaking ballsy. No, but we're doing it for your safety. And you need some more beer and pizza. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. There will be beer and pizza and ballsiness.
The mood of the crowd was positive and festive.
We have not planned for that.
Release the Kraken!